What do I do, Lord?
Destroy the child. Corrupt them all.
This is their plan, people. These are demons. Just like the Bible says, it's basically an intergalactic invasion into this space through people. I'm telling you, it's what all the ancients said. It's what they warned of. It's what we're dealing with. They're demons. They're freaking interdimensional invaders, okay? I'll just say it. Make fun of me all you want on CNN or wherever, but everyone already innately knows this. These people are not freaking humans, okay? Hillary Clinton is a goddamn demon.
You're listening to part two of the Illuminati Bloodline show. Part one already aired, so catch up with that if you haven't already. And in that, we talked about the bloodlines of Cain and how all of this goes back to the ancient times and arguably, allegedly, supposedly Lucifer, which is my particular belief. Could be yours, might not be. Just seems that as you research this, the same themes occur over and over. So let's get into part two. We're going to resume our discussion. Last we talked, we mentioned Tracy Twyman and some of the Kabbalistic stuff of the Luciferian energy and all this. And it actually goes a lot deeper than that. When you look at the Da Vinci Code, the book by Dan Brown, when you look at the previous book to that, the book that inspired Dan Brown's novel, it's called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. The claim is that there is, in fact, a bloodline of Jesus Christ created when he and his alleged consort, Mary Magdalene, had sexy time and made the babies. And the church suppressed this truth, this supposed reality, by saying Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. But it should be known that the Holy Blood, Holy Grail book did in fact influence Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code series. But the idea here is that this bloodline of Christ and Mary Magdalene contains all of these supposed occult powers, because in true occult Gnostic fashion, they think that Jesus Christ was a magician. Some people talk about how Jesus traveled to the Himalayas and the mountains of Tibet and learned all of the same stuff that Helena Blavatsky talked about with her ascended masters. The bloodline of Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene is protected by the Freemasons and the secret societies known as the Priory of Sion. That's the allegation, at least. And they protect it because one day this bloodline will give us the new world leader. Again, referring back to the late researcher Tracy Twyman in her book, Clock Shavings, there's some interesting insights to be had from this. I'm going to read you another passage. It appeared that the Catholic Church had attempted to exterminate this bloodline many times throughout history, but supposedly there was a secret society that had protected it, and the secrets of the Holy Grail throughout the centuries, a group of mysterious Frenchmen called the Priory of Sion. This group was allegedly connected to a number of other secret societies with which I was already familiar, including the Freemasons, Knights Templar, and the Rosicrucians. The bloodline of Christ, this Grail bloodline, had allegedly resulted in the Merovingian kings of France, a medieval dynasty whose descendants could be found in almost every royal house in Europe. And then here's where things get a little more interesting in this next paragraph. I wanted to set that up for you. In the Priory's own literature, it was strongly hinted that a king from this bloodline was destined to rule over a united European empire and perhaps the world. Now, that idea there is the central and key tenet to all of this, which by the end of this part two, we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, I believe I used the example of the Rothschilds in this analysis here. But the idea is to consolidate power for world domination. Back to the book. This, the Priory's documents indicated, was the group's true agenda, in which many of the world's leading figures secretly conspired behind the scenes. The Grail, in the view of these secret societies, seemed to symbolize the primordial occult power which was said to result from the union of opposite energies, particularly those of good and evil, male and female, fire and water. In this way, it was similar to the Philosopher's Stone of the Alchemists and the Kundalini power of yoga. Those of the Grail bloodline, it was implied, had that power inherently in their blood. The Holy Grail was written of in the Grail romances of medieval times as either a cup or a stone. As a cup, it had held the blood of Christ after he was crucified. As a stone, it was a magical jewel that had purportedly been chipped out of Lucifer's crown during his war with God's angels in heaven. He who possessed the Grail had the power to rule the world. Now, that is essentially what they're saying is that Jesus and this Holy Grail bloodline has the magic in their blood, in their veins. And that is why Hitler was supposedly looking for this thing. And in case I didn't mention it, the Grail is veiled reference to the bloodline of Christ and Mary Magdalene, according to this conspiracy theory. Now, Tracy Twyman, she actually had her own secret society that she organized called the Ordo Lapsus Exilis. And it supported this theory of the protected bloodline, which of course is heresy, according to the church. But I'm not here to tell you my belief system. I'm here to tell you about the different ideas surrounding this. In Clock Shavings, she uses the language that connects the bloodline of the Grail to Cain and Lucifer. Because like I said earlier, it always goes back to that. It's always about the spiritual battle. And in this passage that I'm going to read you, and I promise you this is my last Tracy Twyman passage. At this point, I've read you half the damn book. No, I'm just kidding. It's actually got a lot more in the book. But there's language about the sun, which we already know and have established to be veiled reference to Lucifer and the Enlightener, the Illuminated One. Let's get into her. This is three paragraphs. Let's go. We, at the Ordo Lapsus Exilis, believe that we already know the name of the man destined to be the Grail King. He is the last scion of a royal bloodline that stretches back to the very beginning of human history, and beyond that as well. His is the true bloodline of the Holy Grail that certain authors have written about. The bloodline is not merely human, but divine in origin, and is the only bloodline chosen by our masters as being fit for the royal office. Now we know there are many people throughout the world that carry this same blood to varying degrees, but our crown prince is the only person alive today who possesses a pure and unbroken lineage stretching back to the first Grail King, Cain, son of the sun. So there you have it right there. Very explicit in their belief. Our prince is also the only person who has been trained from birth onward to hold this exact position. The veracity of his claims, the divine mission to which he has been assigned, and the magical nature of his royal blood have been proven to us beyond a shadow of a doubt. It is truly awe-inspiring to realize that our order has been chosen to perform this monumental task. It is we who must bring the Grail King to the throne once again. It is our responsibility to restore order to the chaos of our world. Of course, order out of chaos. That's the lingo. That's the lingo on the dollar bill, right? Healing the wasteland that has caused so much misery and suffering throughout the ages. Presently, our prince is at this time a human being, albeit one of ultimately divine origin. He has human failings just like anybody else. However, it is our belief, once the anointing ceremony is performed and he is crowned king, an alchemical transformation will occur within his mind and in his physical body. He will become possessed by the spirit of his divine ancestor and will no longer be merely human. He will be transformed into something both male and female, both alive and dead, both human and divine. He will be an incarnation of Cain, the original Grail King. It is in this transcended state that he will be able to initiate the global events that will lead to the union of the world's governments under his rule. So, what is she talking about there? The bloodline stretches further back, all the way to Cain. Possessed by the serpent, killed his brother Abel. And the same serpent from the Garden of Eden. But they say the transcended state is something that when man is transformed into something that's both male and female, both alive and dead. And pop quiz, hot shot. What child star did this? Harry Potter. Did I say that right? I don't know if I'm such an idiot. Pop quiz, hot shot. You know what movie that's from? Speed. But yeah, so the Harry Potter, I watched all the films. I'm working up a real sweet analysis. We're going to expose the whole thing. I know I'm like 10 years late to watching the movies, but I finally did it. And he is, in fact, master of both worlds. That is the Joseph Campbell hero's journey, the monomyth. Harry Potter is both alive and dead. It's called the Master of Both Worlds, and that is what the Grail King, the bloodline of Cain, and arguably Jesus with Mary Magdalene, is going to be controlling the world someday, so get ready for that, apparently. Thus, we see why these secret societies and these monarchies, they talk about this divine right to rule. Many questions could be initiated from this line of thought. The most significant one, which is what you came here for, who is in the Illuminati? Who is in the bloodline? And why haven't they already initiated this occult fantasy of this new world yet? If the bloodline is being protected, then surely they would know who is to be elected into this position, right? So what's stopping them? All questions that will remain unanswered for now. But when you look to researchers to find this answer, you can find people like Fritz Springmeier, who's done a lot of research. And you can see his layout of the 13 Illuminati family bloodlines. And I've listened to Fritz Springmeier, and he seems very honest in his understanding of this agenda. Yet, some reason I hesitate to fully believe all of his assertions, since many of those stated in his book about the Illuminati bloodlines, they're not really cited. The citations and look, when you're in this world of conspiracy, you believe in the idea of fake news. You don't really trust all the sources. But here's the thing, is if I'm going to trust a source, it's not going to be one of these like real flimsy news sites that's just clickbaiting to make money. And a lot of those are cited in the book. And there's a lot of open-ended statements in the book that I don't like. Like the one sentence he says, Charles Manson was a Freemason, a member of the OTO, and a Satanist, without further clarification. Like, that might be true. I don't know. I'd like to hear more about it. I'd like to see the references that make one believe these ideas. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying I don't believe people when they say just anything and everything. That's all I'm saying. And you shouldn't either. The alleged 13 bloodlines that Fritz Springmeier points out include these dynasty names that you will recognize. Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Kennedy, Lee, Onassis, Reynolds, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, and Van Doyne. I actually don't recognize that last one. But Springmeier, he contends that the families here, they all practice the same pagan mystery belief system, going all the way back to the Babylonian astrologers and Egyptian mystery schools, something we've been talking about for many years. To me, the one thing that I believe undoubtedly is that all of this that we're experiencing goes back to the Babylonian stargazers and the ancient mystery schools. I pulled out here's a sentence from his book. The Illuminati is the continuation of the mystery religions of Babylon and Egypt. And the bloodlines of the Illuminati go back to people who at one time lived in Babylon and Egypt. Now, Springmeier, he supports Kathy O'Brien's assertions, and you recall her story in the book Transformation of America. She talks about being ritually abused by the elites and Springmeier supports her assertions that Disney was in fact involved in a dark plot to enslave, abuse, and mind control children, which, because Springmeier wrote this book many years ago, is a claim that seems tragically more realistic than ever when we consider old Mr. Epstein there and how he was suicided so that we never find out the truth about his inner circle. And in recent news, apparently we are going to forget all about Epstein because the impeachment thing is on the horizon and so on. But I already told you this. I told you this in the Epstein show. William Barr, he was on the law firm that got Epstein the sweetheart deal back in 2008 or whatever it was when he, you know, raped some kid or whatever and got a couple months probation out of it. And his daddy is the one that gave Epstein his first job out of college, being a professor with no college degree. And his daddy is the one that wrote the sci-fi novel talking about these Martians and how they were enslaving children and having sex with them. It's all connected here. You can check out that Epstein show. It was a couple weeks ago. I think it might have been on, is it Patreon? Yeah, it was a Patreon show. Now, some names on this list are curious in that the Russell name goes all the way back to the Russell Trust, started by William H. Russell. And this is also known as the Skull and Bones of Yale, the Brotherhood of Death, secret society of the elite with members like George H.W. Bush, son George W. Bush, John Kerry. The Russell family is also known for Russell and Company. What is that, you ask? Well, it's a Chinese trading company that brought opium to the masses. Basically, one of the largest drug dealers on the planet. And Springmeier asserts that John Jacob Astor, the first name on that 13 bloodlines, was cashing in on this as well. And it's alleged that the logo is what? It's the Skull and Bones. Of course it is. Of course it is. Esoteric symbolism to be found everywhere. Now, Springmeier's book, it goes much deeper on the subject. Hundreds of pages. But some ideas I would like to highlight to you, should you not be interested in reading that, is that we can connect the Illuminati bloodlines with the occult mystery religion, an argument I've been trying to basically present since the beginning. From Springmeier's book, I'm going to read you. Alexander Hislop, author of The Two Babylons, has tried to research the occult world and the connections between the different groups. I first read Hislop's book in 1981. His book shows that there is a continuity between the ancient occultism of the mystery religions and modern day religion. Edith Starr Miller's Occult Theocracy was very helpful for me to rapidly see some of the many hidden historical and operational connections between the occult groups today. Finally, the book Holy Blood, Holy Grail and its first sequel, The Messianic Legacy, gave me a deep, insightful look into the 13th bloodline, but my understanding has been lifted by countless other investigators who are worthy of praise because they dared to challenge the power structure to get to the real facts. Now, in the Springmeier's book, you also see talk about the Luciferian influence. In mockery and imitation of God's 12 tribes, Satan blessed 12 bloodlines. One of these bloodlines was the Ishmaeli bloodline, from which a special elite line developed alchemy, assassination techniques, and other occult practices. One bloodline was Egyptian, Celtic, Druidic, from which Druidism was developed. One bloodline was in the Orient and developed Oriental magic. One lineage was from the Canaan and the Canaanites. It had the name Astarte, then Astorta, then Ashtor, then Astor. The tribe of Dan was used as a Judas Iscariot type seed. The royalty of the tribe of Dan have descended down through history as a powerful satanic bloodline. The 13th or final bloodline was copied after God's royal lineage of Jesus. And this is the Holy Blood, Holy Grail talk, right? This was the satanic house of David with their blood, which they believe is not only from the house of David, but also from the lineage of Jesus, who they claim had a wife and children. That's Mary Magdalene, and the child, of course, is unknown. The 13th satanic bloodline was instilled with a direct seed of Satan, so they would not only carry Christ's blood, but also the blood of his brother, Lucifer. One of the bloodlines goes back to Babylon and are descendant from Nimrod. Down through the years, the occult world has remained hidden from history books. Publishing and education have been controlled privileges. They have ruled behind the scenes. The mystery religions each have their own secret. Now, as a side note, when I was reading through the book, the name Bronfman came up. You recall that? I should remind you of the recent Nexium sex cult that had the Bronfmans involved. In Springmeier's book, it says, Joan Collins spent time with Edgar Bronfman. The Bronfman family are the Jewish Illuminati family that runs Canada. Joan Collins may not be part of the Illuminati Collins family, but if she isn't, she has at least associated with some of the top Illuminati. Luciano was one of the three major distributors for the Bronfman's narcotics. The Bronfman's are outwardly Jewish and covertly Satanists. Remember, they were mentioned in the previous Collins article being friends of actor Joan Collins. Rothstein and Meyer Lansky were the other two Bronfman distributors. And that he pulled that from a book called Dope Inc. Because the drugs are always part of this. Because the drugs are the black budget that bankroll a lot of these things. Now, David Icke, he also put together some interesting ideas on these bloodlines that rule the world. If you consider the structure he proposes as a spider web with the unknown center, then moving outwards from that, you have the unknown secret societies. Then you've got the known secret societies, which are like your Freemasons, your Jesuits, etc. Then you've got like the semi-secret societies, like the Council of Foreign Relations, Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, all trying to globalize and centralize power. And you can see the overlapping presence of the media, the elites, and the political figures. Now, the center of the spiderweb is alleged to be the evil presence that David Icke claims the shape-shifting reptilians operate from. Those, of course, are the Archons. We'll get into that idea here in a little bit on the reptilians and such. Now, he bases a lot of this talk on descriptions taken from ancient texts, cuneiform script, similar to Zechariah Sitchin and the ancient astronaut theory, different carved figures found in the Middle East, various serpent deities in South America. But David Icke, he argues that a race of reptilian gods have, and gods, of course, in lowercase g, he argues that the reptilian gods have visited our planet before and continue to do so today.
Pre-cataclysmic societies, and that got lost when the cataclysms brought an end to that and people went back to basically a primitive society would actually build up again. And of course, when you talk about the so-called fall of man, which is all connected to this, the fall into a lower state of consciousness, I would suggest, then reptilian snakes seem to be involved in that. And what is also described is the genetic manipulation of the human form. Again, some people have kind of decoded this or expressed this as these entities created humans. Bollocks. No, what they did was change what already existed. It's absolutely in line with what the Gnostics talk about in terms of this archontic force. They changed what already existed, and they manipulated human genetics so we interacted with reality in a completely different way and became much more suppressed in terms of our ability to perceive reality.
Part of this theory is that the reptilian entities, like the Anunnaki, are actually shape-shifting into our dimension through the possession of human beings, just like demonic spirits. Oh my God. Say it ain't so. Hide your wife, hide your kids. Demons are coming to possess the bodies. Now, all of this extends into the idea of dragons, believe it or not. not the Game of Thrones types, but well, maybe the Game of Thrones doesn't really have a specific time period. But anyways, you look to the ancient text. David Icke postulates that these dragons may come from the star constellation of Draco. And David Icke argues that many monuments like Angkor Wat in Cambodia, as featured on Ancient Aliens, have been erected to pay tribute towards the constellation of Draco. The reason being is that a race of reptilian shapeshifters were referred to as the dragon race, and that's where they originated from, was Draco. These winged reptilians are called birdmen, winged serpents, fallen angels. All of this stuff is in the ancient mythos. Like when you look at the Chichen Itza monument down in, where is it? Mexico? Is that Central America? Anyway, you know what I'm saying. Got the Quetzalcoatl feathered serpent. All of this is apparently pointing to a previously understood knowledge of reptilian entities from Draco. And this is where the divine right to rule comes from. It refers to this race of beings having this royal draconian blood. And this, of course, brings new conceptual ideas to the character of Dracula. Lawrence Gardner said that Dracula means son of Dracul. And David Icke asserts that Dracul is synonymous with Draco, of course. Now, curious enough, since we're talking about the bloodlines, Prince Charles from the royal family, the British royal family, is alleged to be a blood relative of Vlad the Impaler himself, the OG Dracula. And this all makes sense when we explore more of the vampiric bloodlines and how they play into this Illuminati idea. Now, it should also be noted that Queen Elizabeth is alleged to be related to the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, through Zayda of Seville, who was a Muslim princess who converted to Christianity and became a concubine to King Alfonso VI in the 11th century. The historian who claimed this link back in 1986, Harold Brooks Baker, is claimed to have been wrong on a lot of his other claims. So, don't run and tell that to everybody. Thus, we don't know if the two are actually related. But it would be curious if they did because of the queen's divine right to rule. This would have some links to the supernatural claims of Muhammad and Islam when we consider Kaaba and the, you know, the black cube that actually houses the black stone that is considered to be a relic from the time of Adam and Eve. It's believed to be a meteorite that showed Adam and Eve where to build the first temple on earth. And Muhammad placed this stone in the Kaaba in a prophetic manner, and to this day, the Muslims complete their Hajj to honor this stone. Now, if to refer back to Tracy Twyman again in her book, Clock Shavings, we learn of Prince Nicholas de Vere. This was a guy who claimed to be the head of a family that descended from the bloodline of the Holy Grail. And he wrote a book about his family history and how it traced back through the Sumerian gods and this superhuman race that he called the dragons. And he claimed that they ruled the ancient world and are destined to rule yet again. Now, Nicholas de Vere, he claimed his dragon bloodline possessed magical powers, which is why they were viewed upon as gods and put into the positions of power. So it seems all these reptilian shapeshifters, dragons, demonic serpents, they all seem to need this blood sacrifice of mankind in order to survive or stay alive on this planet. And David Icke's reptilian theory is that they harvest the negative energy and the fear so that these demonic entities can inhabit the bodies of men and women in this dimension. It's their form of sustenance. Curiously enough, the British royal family owns a private estate that found itself in a bit of controversy back in January 2012, if you recall. a body of a teenage girl was found on their property. Prince Andrew is also notoriously alleged to be very close friends with Jeffrey Epstein, a guy who we've all forgot about by now. This is a man who is alleged to have been a central figure in a coordinated ring of sexual abusers for the elite, and quite possibly a reptilian shapeshifter himself. Now, it is quite possible that a race of demonic fallen spirits have been to Earth and possibly make return visitations through interdimensional travel. Why do I say that? Well, the Bible refers to a race of fallen angels called the Watchers that came to Earth and procreated with the women, made the sexy time to create a bloodline called the Nephilim. And the Gnostics, they refer to a similar concept with the Archons that procreated with the human race, which again, this is along the lines of David Icke's theories. And they align themselves with Gnosticism, which of course is considered a heresy by the Christian faith. But the concept of the Nephilim is quite controversial to say the least. So let's take a quick, brief look at that. It originates from the Bible's book of Genesis, chapter 6. And look, I don't profess to be an expert on the Bible, but when things like this come up, I look at my Orthodox study Bible, and curiously enough, they have nothing, no clarification about these giants, these Nephilim. So I am left perplexed researching the internet for information. And by the way, if after my brief little discussion on this, you don't feel like that's enough, which it won't be. I'll be straightforward with you. It won't be. But if you want more, check out Ken Amie. He wrote a book about this. I believe it's called Chapter 6. It goes very deep into the subject. Now, let's read Chapter 6 real quick. And I took this from the Septuagint, the original Greek translation from the Hebrew text. And it came to pass when men began to be numerous upon the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, having seen the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, took to themselves wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord God said, My spirit shall certainly not remain among these men forever, because they are flesh, but their days shall be 120 years. Now the giants were upon the earth in those days. And that little part there about the giants, in some translations of the Bible, they call it the Nephilim. But that's where the big controversy comes in, because it says, Now the giants were upon the earth in those days, and after that, when the sons of God were wont to go into the daughters of men, they bore children to them. Those were the giants of old, the men of renown. And the Lord God, having seen the wicked actions of men, were multiplied upon the earth, and that everyone in his heart was intently brooding over evil continually. Then God laid it to heart that he had made man upon the earth, and he pondered it deeply. And God said, I will blot out man, whom I have made from the face of the earth, even man with cattle and reptiles, with flying creatures of the sky, for I am grieved that I have made them. And what he's talking about there, of course, is the great flood, the deluge that wiped out everyone, except for Noah and 6 billion animals and insects on the boat, on the ark. And isn't that curious? In that line it says, even man with cattle and reptiles with flying creatures of the sky. Flying reptiles, maybe? So when you look at the claim made that the bloodline of the Bible describes these men of renown, they were supposed to be entirely wiped out by God's great flood because they were an abomination created from these fallen angels. So the term Nephilim, what is that? Well, it comes from certain versions of the Bible that translated over that term the giants. And the same logic goes for the sons of God. When the Bible references that, some claim that is a reference to the fallen angels, of course, Lucifer. The rebel angels fallen to earth. Thus, the fallen angels procreated with the daughters on earth and created the race of giants, the Nephilim. And of course, this topic goes much deeper. I'm going to cover a little bit more on it, but I'm telling you right now, You could spend days researching this topic. I had to cut the research off at some point. I mean, I've been writing and researching up until this very recording. I just had to call it at a certain point because I got a lot of other topics to get to, but fascinating ideas here. But either way you interpret this, the concept here is that a bloodline was created that mixed God's creation of man and woman with a supernatural force, entity, demon, angel? I don't know. Pick your poison there. But God tried to wipe out this atrocity with the great deluge, saving only the pure-blooded man, Noah. Now, like I said before, my knowledge of these biblical topics is remarkably minimal. So when I referred to my study Bible, I was actually kind of surprised to see no clarification on the topic whatsoever. But in hindsight, that makes sense, because this topic is, of course, a rabbit hole of theories beyond what I've already mentioned. And this can take you down different concepts of the Sethians, which is the bloodline of Seth, marrying into the bloodline of Cain. Nephilim is translated as tyrants. That's like the more rational explanation. Babylonian gods had this bloodline in them, like Gilgamesh. You could see the Rh negative bloodlines and so on. I mean, it goes on and on and on. All day, all night. It's all right. Now, interestingly enough, conspiracy theories about the skeletal remains of giants found in America have floated the internet for some time. And before I go any further, I forgot to shout out Alicia on the Patreon feed. She wanted information on the Nephilim, or the idea of giants, I should say, in the Smithsonian. And that's kind of part of the reason why I went down this Nephilim rabbit hole, because I thought it kind of coincided with the research on the bloodlines of who is the Illuminati. And to be honest, I couldn't find a lot about this idea that the Smithsonian has been lying. And I'll tell you about it right here. I did a little write-up here. So the idea here is that giants were in America and that there was a cover-up of evidence. And the reason the evidence was covered up was to support Darwin's theory of evolution, because this was the early Victorian era. And, you know, this is before all of the eugenics stuff, because Darwin's theory of evolution prompted the eugenics movement. And these mainstream sources like National Geographic and Snopes, they all insist that all of these theories are hoaxes. Because I read through some of the articles on the idea that the Smithsonian specifically had been hiding fossils of giants in order to protect this theory of evolution. And I couldn't find any reputable sources. That you'll find newspaper clippings, okay, which seems to support the idea, but the counter argument is that back then, this is the early days of the spiritualism movement, there was a lot of wacky stuff being printed in the newspapers. So that's the claim. They claim all these photos were doctored, and it was like sensationalist fake news. So, I mean, it's hard for me to elaborate further than that. But the overall idea here is this idea of interdimensional entities, whether that be Nephilim, Archons, whatever, fallen angels, demons. All of this is actually supported by science when we consider this concept of frequencies on the electromagnetic spectrum that are beyond our reception. Because if you look at the band of visible light, it's a very thin band. It doesn't even put a dent in this entire spectrum. So who's to say what lies beyond that? I mean, we've got equipment to detect microwaves, gamma rays, all that kind of stuff, but even that, I mean, it's just a sliver. There's so much going on in the frequency bands beyond that, that who knows what's happening.
Expressions of this distortion, and it allowed these entities from just outside of human perception, in frequency terms, to manipulate these reality that we experience as the world. And they are the force. This is absolutely crucial as we go along. These entities, and that which is an expression of these entities, are all worshipped in the end by all the major religions. People might like that who follow one, but all the major religions. I'll come into that as we go along. The secret societies, which are compartmentalized, they at the highest inner core level know that what these secret societies are worshipping are these entities. And Satanism, in its own enclosed secrecy, openly worships these entities and sacrifices people to these entities. This is what sacrifice to the gods is all about in the ancient world. This. And behind the institutions of banking and politics, media, religion, and all of it, are these entities through particular bloodlines that I will talk about in a second, which in the end all come back to the same force.
Now let's get a little more rational here. This is what I was talking about with the Rothschilds earlier, because it's the most common name. When you talk about the Illuminati families, the Rothschilds always comes up. So I want to take a quick look, one last look here, at connections we can make to the big Illuminati agenda with this bloodline, this family of Rothschilds. In terms of pop culture, which is more of my forte, we had this sordid affair of Kate Rothschild dating rapper Jay Electronica several years ago. Jay Electronica, as you know, signed to Jay-Z's rock label, Rock Nation label. Had all of the Illuminate confirmed symbolism on his early albums, and I don't think he's dropped any albums in a while. I think he gave up. But he kind of stopped rapping once he started dating her. And I think he actually scooped her up. I think he pulled the robbery on her from some other guy that was either married or whatever. You get what I'm saying. But anyways, as far as pop culture goes, Kate Rothschild dating Jay-Z's little buddy there. We also saw the Mentmore Towers. That's a mansion owned by the Rothschilds in the film Eyes Wide Shut. Now, technically, and I want to caveat this, because a lot of conspiracy theorists will not tell you this, but when they filmed Eyes Wide Shut, it was actually owned by the Maharishi Foundation, which isn't a whole lot better. I mean, they're into this transcendental meditation, all this new age ideas of making contact with entities. But at one point, this was the Rothschild's own mansion. I believe it was used to store all the art for the patriarch of the family. Now, this location was infamous in Eyes Wide Shut as the scene of the big orgy, the Gnostic Black Mass, where Red Cloak had his ladies serving the elites, where they held the ritualistic sex party. And this mansion actually holds a lot of odd connections. I talked about this in my Kubrick analysis called Kubrick's Code, which you can get on gumroad.com/IsaacW. It's like a 3+ hour video I made for it. And if you're listening to this on the Patreon feed, which you should be, this is a Patreon-only show, get that Gumroad discount code. If you can't find it, shoot me an email, IlluminatiWatcher@gmail.com. But you can watch that 3+ hour video I made about Kubrick. Anyway, from that book, I'm going to read you pertinent information about the Mentmore Towers. The mansion referred to as Somerton in the film is actually a mansion that was built for Baron Mayor Amschel de Rothschild. That name of Rothschild should ring a bell because of their ties to conspiracy theories and their history of running the banking industry, which effectively made them the wealthiest family in human history. The Rothschild family name means at the sign of the red shield, derived from the location of the house in the Jewish ghettos of Frankfurt where the ancestors traced to. Their financial power was used to help the British win in the Napoleonic Wars against the French, and their Jewish background led to conspiracy theories that not only persist to this day, but were the subject of Nazi propaganda films. Getting back to the Mentmore Towers, we can see this mansion in the film Batman Begins, as Bruce Wayne's manor, which is directed by Christopher Nolan, again tying Eyes Wide Shut to the Batman films. Some say that Nolan has access to esoteric knowledge through the placement of themes in his films, like how the term Sandy Hook appears on the map in Batman Begins before the shootings occurred. I don't know if you recall that. That was a big to-do in the conspiracy world back when the Sandy Hook shootings happened, because the Batman movie that had released just before the shootings, you can clearly see they point to Sandy Hook on the map when they're planning some kind of police movement. Now, David Icke, he asserts that many people belong to this Rothschild family, even though they don't have the name Rothschild. He claims they go by different names to avoid suspicion. Claims they're all behind the think tanks that ultimately globalize our world. And groups within the family are at the top of the banking business, big pharma, and media, entertainment, in order to coordinate this big globalization agenda. And the Rockefellers are claimed to have interbred with the Rothschilds in order to establish the elite bloodlines in America. The secret destiny of America. So the Rockefellers are to America as to the Rothschilds are to Europe. And in fact, they recently had a $37 billion merger in the news. So there's that. Now, curious enough, the patriarch of the family, Meyer Amschel, was the first to establish the international banking empire, and he infamously denied any of his daughters to receive shares of the family business back when he died, back in 1812 in his last will and testament. And of course, the women were accustomed to that certain lifestyle, so they had to marry back into their own family in order to keep the status. Thus, much inbreeding was normalized, including four of Meyer's granddaughters marrying his own grandsons. And we could go on about all these different families and how they believe to be the top of the pyramid control system. But the original first questions posited to me points us towards the bloodline. So I got to reemphasize, it's difficult and almost impossible to define which bloodline is considered the quote-unquote chosen group. To me, it is a bit maddening. It's a bit futile of an effort. I think that it can ultimately lead to divisiveness, which I believe is what they want. They want the chaos. For instance, we could argue that there is a Jewish Zionist plot to take over the world. Or maybe the RH negative bloodlines derived from the vampires. Either way, there is not much that can be done to stop this. And I realize that is somewhat of a pessimistic outlook, but I've always veered towards harmony with one another in order to keep from being distracted by the larger agenda. So if we can be aware of the goals they have, we can find ways to educate others and wake people up to their desires. If nothing else, we can keep a level head, maintain our own beliefs within the circle of friends and family. But who cares what the masses fall for anyhow? I mean, that's my personal outlook, my personal opinion. So make of it what you will. If you want to be out with the bullhorn with Alex Jones, knock yourself out. I applaud your efforts. I just know that people need, you got to kind of crack the door open before you kick it in. Right? But like, to zoom back out and look at this original question, who is in the Illuminati? We can see how this answer quickly delves into this widening rabbit hole. And the main agenda, to me, clearly, is globalization for centralization of power and finances. They seek to consolidate power internationally. At the bare minimum, we can agree that a global agenda exists to transform our society. And whether or not the agenda is a nefarious plot to harvest energy to the satanic dark force is yet to be determined, but I believe it to be so when we consider the widespread connections of secret societies to ancient occult practices and ultimately the worship of the Luciferian force. So there you have it. That is my best crack at trying to explain who the Illuminati is from my perspective. Of course, your perspective may differ. By all means, research, learn more, try to understand what's going on. And until next time, stay woke.